number item, right? Praise the Lord. One of the things that, oops, I think I'm too close to something. Or, I'm all right? Okay. One of the things that really is happening today is that what somebody might call the church is moving away from the gospel. And it happens that we have to understand the clarity of the message of the gospel because it depends for us to really remain in Him. Jesus Christ says, without me, you can do nothing. And the title that the Lord gave me for this message, and it's going to be kind of a little bit on the expository side. I probably can read. If not, I'm going to have to have Richard or someone to help me to preach this message. And the title of the message is 3 days and three nights. 3 days and three nights. And the central scripture that we're going to use is in Matthew 12, verse 40, I mean 39, and 40 and 41, that we're going to see what the scripture says. Chapter 12 of Matthew, what happens is that Jesus Christ was preaching the gospel. And he was having really the opposition of the religious establishment then. It was the Pharisees, the teachers of the law. It was the Sadducees. And it happens that while he was performing miracles, you can go to chapter 12. I don't want you to read from verse 1, but we're going to go pretty soon to verse 39. And what happens is they were disputing with Christ because what Christ was saying, he was not in that much of what they wanted to hear. You see, sometimes when we become religious, we want God to tell us things that we want to hear. And we don't want to hear the voice of God and the revelation of God. Because most of the time, when I read a piece of scripture, or a part of the scripture, or a verse on it, what happens is takes place that all of a sudden, I encounter myself in a portion of the scripture that is describing me for who I am, and I don't like it. Because God is telling me I have to change who I am to acquire the image of Christ, who He is. Amen? And it happens that in order that we have to do that, what it takes place is I have to deny myself. For goodness sake, I'm a diabetic. And in my flesh, I like ice cream. Why do I have to deny myself what I like? Because it's bad for me, is that right? But it tastes so good. But that's how sin is too in our lives. This flesh likes sin. You know, this flesh, like all the things that are not of God, that the reason in Galatians, Paul clearly declares that there's a fight, the flesh against the spirit. The believer has to live in the spirit. He will have to walk in the spirit. In order that that happens, we have to understand what it means 3 days and three nights. He's dealing with the Pharisees. Jesus Christ comes to an encounter, and they come and ask this question. Can somebody read Matthew 12, verse 39 for me, because I cannot see the screen on my phone. Please.
He answered, "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth."
3 days and three nights. Jesus Christ is talking about His resurrection. The important thing is that the message of the gospel Like this is stated by Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, is the message of the resurrection. It's a gospel that declares really what God has done. In chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, Paul says, let me clarify this message to you that I have preached. Why clarify the message? Obviously, in Paul's time, there were people that they were changing the message. They were bringing a different gospel, something that doesn't convey the truth of God. So he has to really just come and look to the Corinthians again, like he did over and over again to all the churches, to really clarify what is the message of the gospel. See, we have to understand that the Greeks looked for ideas and understanding and wisdom, and the Jews were looking for signs, and the Pharisees were demanding, they were not just asking, they were demanding, give us a sign from God so we might believe. Guess what? The sign was given, and they still didn't believe. They did not believe. In Christendom today, there's a lot of people that they don't believe in the resurrection of Christ. Oh no, brother, are you sure? Yes. In the so-called evangelical world. And what happens is that when we start just coming and changing what the message of the gospel is, then we have a different gospel. You know that my conversion happened that when I came to the Lord, the first thing that I have is a confrontation after 3 weeks of my conversion. And this guy asked about, do you believe what these people are telling you about Jesus Christ? You know, that God has a son. God doesn't have to have a son. He's not like us. He's eternal. And he was very deep into his beliefs, you know, and he was error, but you know, he was deep into his belief. He was a sincere man. How many of us are we sincere and still can be believing the wrong thing? That's the reason that we have to understand what we really believe. You know, my phrase that I used the most when I was evangelizing and I went to South America and I evangelized in the neighborhoods and all that stuff, one of the things that my question was is this. When a person is converted, they come and receive Christ, and they do it by faith. They come from me and repeat the prayer of faith that you give them. It should not be like that. We should go to Romans and really make them understand what they're doing. And then what? Now I'm a Christian by faith, but now then what? Well, now the what is to really get to know the Christ that is in the Bible, the true revelation of God, the one that came to reveal God to us, not as a distant, supernatural, and omniscient, and most high being, but as our Father. That's a different kind of understanding. And then when we have a relationship with our fathers, we're children, we can come and ask God for what we need. Is that right? When your children were growing up, they come to you and they ask you something. Is that right? Even Jesus Christ alluded to this. If you be evil, give good things to your children, how much more? Your Father in heaven that is going to give the things that you need. Is that right? To really come and have that close relationship and come with him and call him Daddy. Remember what Paul says? Abba. You know, I'm glad that the Lord, when he saved me, he convinced me on the fact that Barabbas' cross was prepared for him, but Jesus Christ took, because I was that Barabbas. Guess what? Bar, it means son. Abbas means of the fathers. We are all Barabbas. Christ took our place in the cross of Calvary. Amen. But the thing is that he's not still there. You go to certain churches and they have a crucifix and there's a Christ that is in that cross. Guess what? He's not there anymore. 3 days and 3 nights. When they come and ask and demand a sign from him, he says, you know, no other sign is going to give to you but the sign of Jonah. As Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights, also the Son of God is going to be 3 days and 3 nights in the earth, in the heart of the earth. He was very specific. I like that we have 4 Gospels. In the other Gospel, it's not specified. But in Matthew, he says 3 days and 3 nights. We are taught by the tradition that there's Holy Friday. Is that right? That's what we've been taught. Isn't that right? We celebrate Holy Week, and then we say Holy Friday. Well, guess what? If it was on Friday, there's no 3 days and 3 nights. So we don't have to be just believing the tradition of what we've been taught, but we have to research, like the Berean church, what the scripture teaches. And if there's a time that that happens, we have the Gregorian calendar, is that right? I mean, we're from the Western civilization. But the calendar of the Jews is different, is that correct? Brother Bob, you are a student of the Jews' customs and all that stuff. When does the day start in Judaism? In the evening, is that right? So, if they start in the evening and then the morning and it's one day, then we have to start, and I'm not doing this just to make calculations, please. The important thing is that it took place, the resurrection took place. But also we have to have a clear understanding that when Christ communicated the gospel, he was a specific. There's no variance. A prophecy cannot be fulfilled 99.9 only. It had to be fulfilled 100%, and that's what it proved, that the Bible is the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. Can somebody read it for me, please? Donnie, go ahead.
Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand.
The gospel that I have preached to you, it was specific that the message is not going to be changed. Can you read on?
By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached. Otherwise, you have to
leave
him back.
Okay. We're going to do like an exercise. We're going to have you read a lot. Okay? We're going to do this kind of an expository manner. The reason that I do that, and sometimes I just put scriptures and I put thoughts before you to follow up. I want to stimulate you to get to the Word of God and see these things for yourself so you can repent the hope and faith that is in you. You're confronted with the false doctrine. Because I tell you, there's a lot of people talking about Christ, but it's not the Christ of the Bible. There's a lot of people that are trying to make you be the feel good gospel. You know what? When I came to the Lord, I didn't feel good. You know why I didn't feel good? I feel good that I was saved. I mean, the weight of sin was taken out of my shoulder. I didn't know what happens. I know that something happened. This is what everybody needs. And I just became a Jesus freak. I have to tell everybody, look, this is what we all need. And they look at me and he has gone nuts. You know, even my oldest brother told my mother, he said, we have to take Rocky to a shrink. He says that he's going to quit the business and that he's going to quit the university and his studies. And he's going to go as a missionary to Colombia. Who do we need to know in Colombia that we're there? Why did he have to do that? He didn't know what happened to my life. But you know that when the weight of sin is taken out of your shoulder, you feel like, oh, this is so good. But I feel bad too because what happens is I start noticing one thing. Rafi has to quit being Rafi and be one like Christ. And that is hard. When you have to deny yourself, when you have to really just say, But you know, in that first love, you're willing to do anything that the Lord asks you. You don't care about those things anymore. They come and try to get a grasp of you. It's grasp. It's like Paul says, you know, brothers, I ask you that you will just shake up that sin that so easily beseech you, because I tell you that dead man wants to wake up all the time. Every day you have to carry your cross and follow Jesus Christ, denying yourself every day. Because I tell you, we're still in the flesh, is that right? But we have to walk in the Spirit. Oh, what kind of a dilemma is this? Do I have to quit being myself? Yes. See, when Jesus Christ called the apostles, there was one that his name was Simon. What was the first thing that happened to Simon? His name was James. See? Why? Because the nature of God changes the person. I don't know what is the name, my new name, but I want, when the Lord give it to me, I will know and I'll let you know. But for now, that I'm in this world, it happens that I'm still grabbing. But I have to identify myself with the citizenship of heaven, because I belong to Christ. Amen?
Amen.
3 days and three nights. Let's not go on and change the subject, because the subject is very important. You remain there on 1 Corinthians 15, because we're going to go there in a moment. That's the reason I want to read and analyze and read and meditate. When we read the Word of God, we have to say, Lord, speak to me, speak to my heart, open my understanding, so I will not be so easily deceived by some fact that comes in Christendom and it sounds good. You know. To remember, we don't watch TV evangelists or nothing like that, but the Lord allows sometimes come across to one of these crazy dudes. You know. And I still remember me and my wife were home, and you know, we were in that moment that we were just taking a little bit of coffee and all that, and we set up the TV on, and all of a sudden I'm making the coffee and Mary calls me. Rafi, he said to me, and there was two. And I come out, and I tell you one thing, you're mistaken. The Lord says one thing that is very clear. Do not judge by outer appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. What is righteous judgment? When we want to judge to accomplish the will of God for our life, so we are not deceived. You know, one of the signs of the times is for the church that Jesus Christ is going to come and pick up. One of the signs of the end times is that there's going to be, and he said it three times in Matthew 7 and 24. He comes and says very clear, he says, in the last days there's going to be false teachers and false prophets. And it happens that he said it, why he said it three times? Is he trying to catch our attention so we can understand that this is one of the signs that they're going to multiply like rabbits? And the other thing is not only that, that there's so many that it happens that also they start in frequency. How much frequency they're having them on TV? And Mary says, come and listen to this, right? There was two evangelists. One of them is a very popular one. People like him. He's a likable man. Then is Kenneth Copeland. And another one that he has a very funny name. I don't know why a person has to put a name with a sign door in it. It was a Mr. Treble Door. And I tell you, it just really just makes me boy. To have a seal for the love of the Word of God as it is spoken, not as it is interpreted by man. And these two men are saying and taking a verse of the Bible out of context, that is Philippians 2:5, that it says that Jesus Christ being in the likeness of God, and they stop there. See, we're children of God, so we have the likeness of God. And then we can call the things that are not like if they were. You know what? That's a lie and from the pit of hell. Because the one that can do that is Christ. We cannot do that. We can have faith and ask him to do it, and he might do it, but it's not me Because then that makes me God. Isn't that what the Mormons teach us? That we're little gods? This is what is being introduced in Christendom today, a heresy. It's a heresy. If the apostles were today here, I know that Paul wouldn't just do the same thing that he did when he wrote his letters, and he condemned those who were teaching those lies. He had opposition. Did Jesus Christ have opposition? Oh, yes, he did. By whom? By the ones that are not supposed to know the law. Doctors of the law, teachers of the law. But then Jesus Christ came to put the things in place. Oh, you want a sign? I'm going to give you a sign. Because no other sign is going to be given to you but the sign of Jonah. And it happens that even that tradition shows that really he was dying on Friday, that then it couldn't have been because, you know, if it's night and day, like my brother Bob says, it might be in a different day of the week. There was only one time that that happened. You have to understand that the Sabbath, it can also mean a day of a festival. And there's one time in history that the Passover, that was the Sabbath, and the regular Sabbath of the week happens in the same time. And it was probably around 4 AD. So it probably was, let's count the days. And can you count the days for me before the resurrection, the Sunday? If one is in the morning. Morning and night, Sunday is one day, is that right? So it would be the Saturday evening to Sunday, is that right? Then Friday to in the morning, it would be the second, is that right? So the Lord probably died on a Thursday, but you were taught that it was on a Friday, is that right? The important thing is really that it happened. But the Lord was specific for one reason. So we don't go for the tradition of what the teachers tell us, but that we can really go to scriptures and say the important thing is that it happens, but the important thing is not to celebrate it or to dedicate it like some people do, that it has to be that specific day. Those of you that were exposed to Catholicism, like I was, it happens that on Friday you don't eat meat. As a matter of fact, I think that through the Holy Week, on Wednesday they come and put the ashes on your forehead, you know. And then it happens that the things are this, you know, it's funny. This is what tradition is so ugly what we do. Because we misrepresent God. And you know what is one of the things that we do when we misrepresent God? What we are doing is that we are not giving him the position of God, and we're blaspheming his name. You know that there's people that they use the GD thing and the JC for any reason. You know, I really remember a deacon that when he, that man, you know, I think that he was not born again because I didn't see the fruit of the Spirit on him, but I cannot judge that. Only Christ. If God, Christ wants to raise him up and bring him home, praise the Lord, you know, because it's God's mercy. But I tell you that deacon, when he was working, when he's working through, he didn't have a testimony. In church, he was very sanctimonious. As a matter of fact, he was one of the leaders of our church. I'm not going to mention his name because that's not important. I don't want to slander the name of a person. But, you know, when he started with the gifting and kicking, very Texas style, you know, and it happens that he just did all these things and all that stuff. And I said, I scratched my head. I said, hold on, and he's one of the leaders of our church. I mean, we have to give, when is that we put our suit of Christian on? Sunday and Wednesday? Or the days that we come to be congregated? Or do we have to carry this uniform every day? Christ in us, is that right? The hope of glory. And what happens is that that's not the only way that you blaspheme the name of God. The name of God is when you misrepresent what God does or he did, and it happens that you are just claiming things that are not attributed to God. That's also When I misrepresent God, I'm blaspheming his name. If I say that I'm a Christian and I live like the devil, I think that I'm just doing a disservice to the Lord. Now, do we falter? Yes, we do. We're still in this, what? What is this called? In the flesh. Is that right? It's a battle that is continually against the flesh and the spirit. But we have to make it choice. Which one do you want? Which one do you really want? Okay. Let's keep on reading it.
For what I received, I pass on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living.
You can go all the way to Paul when he says the last appeared.
Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also as one of the abnormally born.
You know what abnormally born? Now I'm going to tell you it's before time. You know, it's before time. It's like when we mentioned aborted, you know, something that brings a baby before time. Of course, now abortion is tied up to murder in America. We ought to be shamed as a nation for what we have allowed to happen in our country. You know, not many people like to talk about these themes, but we have to bring them up. Because as long as the church remains silent, we are okay. Government leave us alone. Nobody criticizes us. The false doctrines carriers, they just propagate more, and then they come and tell you, yeah, no, so I believe in God like you. I believe in Jesus too. What is the Jesus that they believe in? If it's not the one that says 3 days and 3 nights. If it's not the resurrected Christ, they're bringing you something that is not God. You understand what I'm saying? If you are depending on the dead Christ, that is not the true Christ, it happens that you are and I am in trouble. And we're going to read this in a moment. But look what happens with the resurrection. There was two fashions of believing the establishment of religion in the Jewish community. And it was the Pharisees and the Sadducees. What was the difference between them, Bob? The difference between the Pharisees and the Sadducees. That's right. The Pharisees believe in the resurrection because they were expecting that. I'm going to prove that biblically. And then the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. Yeah. That's the reason that they were so sad. They don't have hope, you know. Praise the Lord. Now, one of the things that happens with this difference of belief is that look at the time that Jesus Christ is coming to Bethsaida, the town of Martha and Maria. And he's walking and the Jews are following him. They're furious. I mean, can you imagine this guy giving sight to the blind? I mean, this guy is doing things that aren't so awesome. The signs of crisis show that this is the Messiah. And still the crowd were following them, but the leaders of the nation of Judah, they didn't accept the Messiah, even that the signs were this is the Messiah. We know the purpose because he had to go to the cross, so I could be included, that you can be included. Purpose and why of God. And this is what happens. When he's going, he delayed on purpose. So Lazarus was very dead. You know what I say? Just in case that somebody said that probably he just had just faint and you know, no. He was very dead. It was the fourth day and the guy stinks already. Oh, hold on. Smells bad. I have to be careful. You know. And what happens is this, you know, when the Lord is coming, one of the things that Martha says, if you would have been here, Master, he would gonna die. I said one thing to Martha, it's very interesting. You know that he's gonna be look at, they know the theology. These Jews knew what they were expecting for. Oh yeah, I know that he will be resurrected like in the last day. There was a passion that was believing in the resurrection. And he says, Martha, don't I tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. 3 days and three nights. 3 days and three nights. The guy is very dead too. Is that right? What is that she read? She read that Paul come, and the message was that Jesus Christ died according to the scriptures. Although the scripture has a very strong meaning for the believer. And then it says that what? After that, that he was going to be raised in the third day according to the scriptures. You see the importance of what we need? We need to be rooted in the Word of God so we understand the God of the Bible, because we have received it by faith, but now we have to mature. The sad thing is that in America, the church is Bible ignorant. We cannot depend on our study on Wednesday and on Sunday. You have to be in the Word of God every day. I'm sorry to put it like that, but you have to. How many times a week you watch a TV program? I want to see the hands. Because I know I watch TV. As a matter of fact, I started reducing watching TV because when you put it on the news, it's just depressing, you know. But the thing is this. How many times a day, we eat every day, is that correct? More than once, it says that. That's true. What happened when we fast? How many of you fast? Don't raise your hands. I don't want to get into that point. But when you fast, you know, sometimes you have to put water in your face, so you can make it through the day. Is that right? Why then we fast on the Word of God? We need the bread of heaven every day so we can be strong and healthy, so we can overcome the world. And also overcome the temptations that the enemy comes and brings every day. You know one thing that the enemy does? I don't know of you, but I know of me. Because I'm not going to talk about you. I'm going to talk about me. Let me point at me. Because it's easy to say, see, he has a problem. Hold on. 3 days are pointing to me. And God is my witness that I am probably worse than anybody else. How many times has a thought come to your mind that you know it's not yours, and it comes and appears out of nowhere, and you say, what in the world am I thinking? But if you eat the Word of God every day, what happens is any time that the enemy wants to put something in your mind, you can hold that thought captive until your obedience of Christ. And you don't have to give to that temptation. Let's not excuse ourselves anymore. Well, I'm human. Don't you know that Christ knew that? He became like one of us. He tasted of everything that we have been bombarded with by the enemy. And he overcome the world. You know what he says? In this world you will have tribulations. Oh, hold on. This is not the gospel of accommodation. I don't want that. I want my next Mercedes Benz, and I want my next mansion. You know, I don't want to ever be sick. Who wants to be sick? I've been sick. You've been witness of that. But is that what it brings me joy in my life? No. My relationship with God is what it just makes me to keep on coming. Because I know there's no other good but the good that comes from God. 3 days and three nights. Very important. And it was according to scripture. And then all of a sudden, Jesus Christ, at the third day, because according to the scripture, he was risen, it happens that he appears to Simon Peter, to Cephas. And then all of a sudden, he comes and appears to the other apostles. More important than that, all of a sudden, he appears of all the people. James. You know who James was? Huh? There's James, the brother of John, but there's James, the brother of Jesus. Let me tell you what James, that this James was. He was the brother of Jesus. You know, because the brother and mother of Jesus came one time while he was preaching, and he was in the house preaching, and the crowd was so big that they could not come in. And all of a sudden, somebody came and said, your brother and your mother are outside and they want to talk to you. You know what they wanted to talk to him for? Huh? Yeah, they wanted for him to go home because they thought that he had gone.
Yeah.
Really? Read the scripture. It says it very clear there. His brother didn't believe in him. They say, if you are this that you are, why don't you go and went to Jerusalem? Because nobody did this thing in secret. He just wanted to become public. But they didn't know that his time had not come yet. But they want to seize Jesus and take him out of there because he thought that he was mad. Now put yourself also, let's not be too judgmental to his brethren, okay? I have an older brother, his name is Harold. And I tell you, I'm glad that I became a believer before he did. Because if Christ had not come at that time, and he would have been the Christ, and he would have said, I am the Son of God, I would have been the same thing. He is crazy, you know what I'm saying? And that's what happens exactly to the brothers of Jesus. The people that knew him, it happens that he grew up with him. I mean, who this guy he thinks he is? So we have to really understand scripture. So when we see the attacks against the divinity of Christ, because the problem with religions are not against religion or believing in a God, it's against Jesus Christ and his divinity. You have to understand that. Nobody can take the place of Jesus. Even that we're children of God, still, he is God and we are not. We are just adopted into his family because of the sacrifice that he did. So, many of the people today, what they say, the resurrection never happens. There was the passions of the Jews, like I said, the ones that believe in the resurrection, and the Sadducees that they say that there's no resurrection. And the Lord was confronted. Because, you know, everybody wants to make mockery of what Jesus Christ teaches. You know, I mean, this message is foolishness for those who are lost. But unto us is the power of God. And look what happens in this confrontation that the Lord Jesus Christ has with the Sadducees. They want to mock Jesus Christ's teaching because he's talking about the resurrection. And all of a sudden they say, teacher, there was a man that he has his wife, but it happens that they didn't produce no heir and he died. And in the law, look at this, let's go. We have to really show the law to the Lord, you know what I'm saying? It's like he don't know this. You know, and all of a sudden he said, you know, and in the law said that his brother ought to marry so he can leave a legacy to the name of his brother. And the second married that woman, but he has no children. He died. So it means that they were probably married for no more than a year because he's seven brothers. Hold on. They even used the number of completion. And then you want to make mock the law because the Lord, because of what he's teaching about the resurrection, and all of a sudden he says, and all servants marry her, and no children was left in the age to come. Because I remember you talking that the resurrection, what is the resurrection? Eternal life, we're going to be raised up again. Is that right? What the message of the scripture is for us. This is our hope that we're going to be risen. If my hope is this life here alone, I am doomed. Thank you, Lord, for giving me the hope that I need, knowing that you're going to raise us up as you raise your son, Jesus. And then he says, you err because, first of all, you don't understand scripture. Oh, hold on. He was what? Crucified and died according to the scripture. He was risen according to the scripture. Hold on. So the scripture has a long way in us believing and knowing the Christ of the Bible. And all of a sudden he said, you are, because you don't know the scriptures or the power of God. Because when they're risen, they're going to be like the angels. They're not going to give themselves into marriage. So there's no need for what? Procreation, because God is going to complete the number on those who have it. See that? What God is doing. Okay, keep on reading.
For I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not revealed without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me.
Amen. Look at that. First of all, the Jews immediately that Jesus Christ died and he was put in the tomb, what did they do? That's right. They went to the prefect, the Roman prefect, and they rolled a stone. And not only did they roll a stone, but they put a seal of the Roman Empire. So nobody can open that. Is that right? Because see, the teachers of the law, the institute of the establishment of the religious, they heard that he talked about the resurrection. Even that the Sadducees, the one described, the most of the scribes, they didn't believe. The Pharisees did believe that the resurrection. So they were, hold on, what about if this takes place? So all of a sudden, Joseph of Arimathea goes and gives the place of his tomb to fulfill the law, because he said that he was going to be buried with the rich. And it happens that he goes and takes the body of Jesus. Remember that Joseph of Arimathea was one of the undercover disciples of Christ. You know, I think that today there's undercover Christians. Well, you know, I'm shy. I cannot share that I'm a believer. I don't know if my class might joke. We don't know the power of God. The Lord will get you to do a better job. I have a testimony yesterday told to me by a man that he's one of the high honchos in the corporation that he worked. And, well, he's been a believer all his life. I believe in God, not like the atheists that don't believe in God. You know, I believe in God all my life, but it happens that he had to give a review to one of his employees. He's a big guy. Or the term that he's using in here in America is he's a big dog, you know. And it happens that he's going to give a review to his employee. And his employee, he used to be a Catholic, but then he was born again. And he comes for his review. And before the review started, what he did, he says, can we pray before this takes place? He looked at him and he says, you know, I want to ask you one thing. See, when you have that change in your life, that you come to know Jesus Christ personally, you have to share this with everybody. And what he says, can we pray before, are you a believer? He says, oh yeah, I believe in God all my life. Yeah, there's a lot of conversion that happens, well, not conversion, profession that happens in church. That when we are kids, we see another kid getting up and doing it, and he just smiles. Oh, that one got baptized. I'm going to baptize too. I don't know what I'm doing, but you know, I want to be in the group. I go through the motions. I'm going to do all these things. And for that reason, that has happened in many churches. You know that if you're baptized, you're already saved. Nobody can take that away from you. Let them tell you one thing. If you were baptized and you were just dumb, and it happens that you didn't know what you were doing or what purpose you were doing it at. You didn't really just have the experience of really knowing Christ. You're just getting halfway back. And you know, if the preacher is good, he'll hold you for 5 minutes down there to be sure that you're converted. No, I'm just kidding. This is a joke. But what happens is this, you know. When we start seeing what the Bible really just meant to us is that we have to be clear on what we have received. So, 3 days and three nights, according to Scripture, God give us the understanding that resurrection is not going to be that we're just going to be raised up naturally in our mortal bodies. Isn't that cool? I'm going to look different. Thank God for that. Is that right, Mary? You know, those of us that we have not been blessed with that athletic body and all that stuff, we're going to have a glorified body. Those ladies that they've been in the yo-yo diet trying to please them, when the society says that you have to be skinny and that you have to have these measurements and all that stuff that are delineated by other people, you're going to say, I don't care, because you know what? When I receive my glorified body, I'm going to be perfect. Because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. That's what God, what Jesus Christ talked to the master or the teacher of the law. Remember Nicodemus? Look at the stage of becoming a believer. That's the reason that 3 days and three nights is important. Because I want you to go down and find the portion that it says that if Jesus Christ is not being risen, I think it's 26. If Jesus Christ had not been risen from the dead, and remember that in the beginning when we read the chapter, that's the reason I want to go expository on it. It happened that he said, let me clarify the message of the gospel to you, because obviously the Corinthians were moving away from the foundation. Is it 26? Okay, well, let me just paraphrase it. Can I? You allow me? Don't go into everything that it says on the scripture. You can just investigate it. But this is, you guys.
Now, if there is no resurrection, what will those do who are baptized for the dead? If the dead are not raised at all, why are people baptized for them? And as for us, why do we endanger ourselves every hour?
Yeah, there's one before, but yeah, keep on reading.
I face death every day, yes, just as surely as I boast about you in Christ Jesus our Lord. If I fought wild beasts in the
Ephesus
with no more than human hope, what have I gained if the dead are not raised? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Do not be misled, bad company corrupts good character. Come back to senses
that you ought, and stop sinning, for there are some who are ignorant of God. I say this to you, to your shame. If you look, I want you to go home and really, really 1 Corinthians 15. Because if Christ was not raised from the dead, we are the most miserable people, because if Christ didn't raise from the dead, we are still in our sins. That's the reason that the apostle says, if we're baptized for the dead, what dead is he referring to? Jesus Christ, because he really died.
But he really had the power to raise.
Exactly. That is the point that the apostle is trying to make. What he's not trying to make, he's making the point. And he says that Jesus Christ was risen from the dead. And now that's the reason that we have hope. Because what happens is that the power that rise Jesus from the dead is going to rise our mortal bodies. And it's going to be transformed. And we're going to go and be with him as he promised. Amen.
Amen. Created,
she can recreate. That's right. You know, so it doesn't matter if we're cremated or if we're mauled by an animal and all that stuff. Do you think that God doesn't have the power to put us together and make us look good?
Thank God for that.
The Lord is good in all his ways. Now I want to see, I don't know why the Sadducees didn't believe in resurrection. Let's go to Job chapter 19. I think it's verses 25 to 27. I think that the Lord just has allowed my eyesight to diminish so I can start memorizing scripture. He has a very good sense of humor because this knucklehead is really hard, you know. Can you read it, please?
I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand on the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes. I and not another. How my heart yearns within me.
Oh, in the Old Testament, there was a really an implied matter of the resurrection. Because see, what Job declares, and you know that Job is the oldest book in the Bible, is that right? The first book written. But how can it be, you know, there was Genesis and all that? Well, let me tell you this, you know. We read the scripture just the way it's being compiled, but if we read it chronologically, we find them in different order. And it's good because at the same token, that one thing was happening here is happening here in this other chapter, but we read it as one after the other. Now, it's one and the other happening at the same time. The consistency of God. Look what Job says. The first thing that he says, I know that my Redeemer lives. Who is our Redeemer but Jesus Christ? Amen. He was the one that brought us back from us, humanity, to be sold out to the enemy because we were supposed to be the lords of the earth. But it happens that Satan wanted that lordship. Do you think that Satan is cunning? Yes, he is. The only thing that he's a creep. You see, in the Garden of Eden, he was a salamander. Until Joseph Smith, in the Garden of Eden, he was a snake. Unto Joseph Smith, he was a salamander. He's always a creep. You know what I'm saying? He's just one of those creatures that, ugh, you know. But that, because he cannot do anything, anything new. Now look at this common thread of Satan. He doesn't know how to invent anything new. You know how the Muslims call the Christians? The peoples of the book. The people, hold on. The Muslim call us the people of the book. You know what the Mormon call us doing? The New Testament of Jesus Christ, that little book that they go around with? The people of the book. Hold on, Satan doesn't know how to do nothing. He deceived the same way today as he did yesterday. He don't change. And you know what the Lord equip us with when we know the scriptures? Is that he let us know how he really works, so we can put the full armor of God. And what is the weapon that we have against the enemy? The Word of God. So the scriptures, that it just add up with the Holy Spirit, becomes the Word of God, and I can stand in the Word of God and believe what God has said, and then I can receive what God has promised. But there's not going to be any hope unless you have this. You can be on the border of the fence, almost being a Christian. You have never been born again. And look what happens. You know, I don't have equilibrium. I'm going to. I rather have to be on the right side, on the side of God. Really looking for the hope. I want you to read the last two verses of that portion in Job. Okay, I know that 1926 to 27, if somebody can read it for me. You got it? 26 and 27.
After my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes, and not another. How that my heart yearns within me.
Amen. Right. Look at how interesting is the declaration of Job. Concerning about himself. He said that he's going to die. Is that right? His skin is what? Gone. See, because the important thing about 3 days and 3 nights is that Jesus Christ promised is the promise of eternal life of those who believe in him. Is that right? So if he was really risen, like Paul declares in First Corinthians chapter 15, if Paul declares this to be true, because if not, we're dead in our sins. If this really took place, then it happens that now Job is talking to our resurrection. What is he saying? Again, 26.
After my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God.
Hold on. So, if his skin is destroyed, in his flesh, it means that he has a body. Again, is that right? Look at the resurrection there. My skin is destroyed. Where do we go when our skin is destroyed? To the tomb. Under the earth. Is that right? Like Jesus Christ was in the heart of the earth for 3 days and 3 nights. There's no dispute that can come against that claim, because he appeared to the apostles, but also Paul said that he appeared to 500 others, that they still alive at the time that Paul was writing that letter, that they were what? Eyewitnesses. All of a sudden he says, and in my flesh I see with my own eyes. I'm going to see him and not another. Why he says not another? Because he's longing to see his Redeemer. Because he knows that he has this promise. Because he knows, as we ought to know, that the promise of eternal life is on the fact that Jesus Christ was risen after 3 days and 3 nights. And one thing is, if God has the power to raise him up in that condition, he has the same power to raise us up if we trust in the message of the gospel.